The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I have an in for Pat. Well, let's talk politics now because we're moving to a point of decision. 12 noon tomorrow is the closing date for nominations to be our next president. Kevin Doyle, executive editor with the Irish Independent, joins us because there's a number of moving parts from Catherine Connolly's interview at the BBC yesterday and the launch of her campaign in Smithfield, remarks about Hamas causing some ripples amongst our coalition of support. Gareth Sheridan bows out, but not only that, there's going to be no local authority nomination route for anybody, which leaves the question of Maria Steen. Now, she's been meeting independent TDs to try and get 20 TDs. Kevin, good morning. What's the latest?
Morning, Ivan. How are things? The latest is that Maria Steen still has a chance. She is the last woman standing, if you like, outside the tent, but still trying to get in and get her name on the ballot paper. The noises this morning, and obviously we won't know till we know, but seem to be good from Independent Ireland. There is, a reasonable chance now that they will give her the four votes. They had, of course, originally said that they would only give her a nomination if she already had 16. Now, she doesn't have 16, Ivan, and that is the great question and where this starts to get really interesting, because depending on which version of events you believe, Padraig Tobin has been, shy of putting himself into the race. Padraig Tobin has made great mileage out of trying to get Maria Steen onto the ballot paper. He has suggested that if they come on, she would have 18 and would just be too shy. But we don't even know who all those names are of those 18. We know a good chunk of them, but there are people who have been too shy to publicly back her, which makes it very interesting. And then there are the speculation, and it can only be called speculation, Ivan, and we won't put names to them on air, of a couple of Fianna Fáil and maybe even one Fine Gaeler who would, put their party careers at risk, at some risk, and sign the paper to get her over the line. But we shouldn't know not a lot by this evening, Ivan, but the next few hours will be crucial for her.
So there's a couple of things there. First of all, is she, without Independent Ireland, is she on 13 or 14?
Well, it depends who you ask. The truth are, there are, I think, about a dozen names that are out there publicly. And Padraig Tobin and others who support Maria Steen say they have a few more in their back pocket who don't yet want it to be known, who don't want to say it out publicly until the point where there are 20. And then obviously, once you sign a nomination paper, it's going to become public. So you can't do this privately. But the question, I suppose, there, Ivan, and I can't answer that, and I doubt you can answer that, is whether they are being totally honest with us. Do they really have 13, 14, or is it more on the 12 that we know about? Are there really a couple of secret people who are just
shy? Give me a straight black or white yes or no Independent Ireland.
I think yes, to be honest. Okay. I think the pressure has been intense, and I think same way Michael Healy rated.
So if we go with 14 plus 4 is 18, surely the two obvious ones are a comrade of Maria Steen on the care and family referendum, Senator Michael McDowell, who's spoken about previously as a candidate himself, but opted out, and Senator Victor Boylan would strike me as two possibles. Are they already on the list?
Well, I was going to say, unless they're one of the ones who have been keeping quiet, Ivan, which is the problem that we don't know, that they haven't made it clear where they stand on this. So you're right, they possibly are, unless they're already being counted. And that's why this really is kind of a bit of a game with cat and mouse with the media to some extent that has been played. And I suppose, look, that's partly to talk up her chances, because as we saw with Gareth Sheridan, when the walls start to close in on you, it can fall apart very quickly. And when he lost a couple of councils, then nobody else was brave enough to push forward with him. And I guess Maria Steen is trying to avoid that scenario where everybody's going, hold on a second, the only mathematical thing here is she can only get to 16. And then people goes, all right, well, that's too far from the magic number of 20. So I'm not going to put my hat or put my head above the parapet for that.
And in relation to Maria Steen herself, she looks the part. She's very articulate. She's a barrister lawyer. Is she does she represent traditional Catholic conservative views, or is there more to her box of tricks?
Well, I think that's what she has campaigned on over the years. But if she's going to run for president and be a serious candidate, then she has to widen her remit. She has to go further than that. And I think the one key point in all of that, what we have seen Maria Steen on TV, in the media over the years, if you put her on a TV debate versus Jim Gavin, versus Heather Humphreys, and arguably versus Catherine Connolly, you would have to say that she is the most articulate. She would probably win those debates in a presentational sense. And that is something that could move the dial a bit for her. But she would be starting from a low base, let's be honest. She would be arguing
against...
Well,
she was more than a match for some of the ministers during those referendum debates, which they won. Maria Steen won with Michael McDowell, sort of 65-35 or whatever it was. Let's go to Catherine Connolly then. Were you impressed by the launch last night?
Well, look, she's calling it, I think, her third launch, because obviously the original launch, which people thought was a bit low-key, was walking out of Leinster House with the parties that were at that stage backing her. She was at the ploughing during the week, and then this was kind of a big set piece. To be honest, it looked impressive. There was a big crowd. The kind of, it had that kind of theatre artsy kind of setting. But it was more of a rally than a launch. You know, the idea that she didn't take any questions from the media, even though she was kind of at the center of a big story of the day. It was a series of speeches from people saying she was great, having already signed up to spend the next month saying she was great. So I don't know how much that translates out into the real world. But certainly it's, I suppose, she needs to motivate her own troops, and it probably did achieve that.
Okay. As we're doing this live, Marion Harkin, Minister of State, has signed Maria Steen's nomination paper, and she said she supported her. Yeah, that Humphreys, a bit like the Healy Rays, which is amusing. But I actually think she probably will get a nomination now, because the pressure will become on more regional independence. Like, I know Barry Heenan has said no, but I could see how some of Lowry's crew might move if they make the difference. Which brings us on to Jim Gavin and the social media stuff. Who is Kieran Kelly?
He says he is a member of the Irish diaspora, but he's based out of Asia in America, a Trump supporter, and somebody who has inserted himself into this scenario, not exactly clear why. And, you know, there's no sense... He has claimed to have spoken with Maria Steen. That's not to suggest that she's anyway linked to any of this. But he certainly sits on the right of politics in terms of his views, in terms of his social media profiles. And he has said things about Jim Gavin without producing any evidence or any proof.
And he says he's going to produce more. But like, is he resident in Ireland? He's originally from Waterford. Like, just for listeners, he put his name to a lot of this malicious stuff against Jim Gavin. You know, it wasn't as if it was another. He did put his name to it.
Yeah, no, I don't believe he is resident in Ireland, Ivan. I think he lives abroad. He calls himself a member of the Irish diaspora, says he's worried about the future of Ireland. But it's, I suppose, you know, we're not going to obviously get into the detail. He has said he will produce evidence the day or 2 days before the actual election. I mean, that's kind of one of the oldest tricks in the book, because you keep the thing trundling along and you keep people talking. And it's a modern day version of a whispering campaign. And everyone builds up to what I presume will be no evidence produced at the end of it. But you've kind of kept that illusion going. So it's a tough one for Jim Gavin. He obviously felt he had to come out and address it, because the truth of the matter is it had cut through. Like, Ivan, me and you, we hear stuff. We're talking to people. We're talking to politicians. We generally hear all these rumors, and there's nothing you can do with them as such if you've no evidence that anything is true. But when you start to get it into the WhatsApp groups, when you start to get family members going, what's that about? Then it's cut through. And that had happened to Jim Gavin in the last 5 or 6 days. It had been seen by so many people on various social media channels. This wasn't just X. It was on Facebook.
Became
Instagram,
a bit of an elephant in the room, you know.
Exactly.
Now, someone's texting, Ivan, disgraceful carry-on by FF and FG blocking independent candidates from being put forward as candidates for the presidential election. In protest, I will not be voting for either of their own candidates. Let be true democracy. I kind of beg to differ on this front, that we grew up in 2011, where Fianna Fáil had a shellacking in February 2011. They were nearly obliterated as a political party, reduced to 20 TDs. They put no one forward. They put no one forward in 2018. So therefore, their whole party was open to a third party. Fine Gael had a weak campaign in 11 with Gay Mitchell, ran nobody in 2018. And so therefore, if guys and ladies came from Dragon's Den, there was a kind of fair wind. But it, like, this time, they do have skin in the game. Like, it is different. I mean, you know, it, like, there isn't an obligation on me to support you. You know what I mean?
No, and Gareth Sheridan's piece in the Sunday Independent the weekend was kind of arguing that they didn't want housing to become, he was going to make housing a centrepiece of his proposition to voters. And his argument was that the two parties of government didn't want that to happen. Now, arguably, that is true because they wouldn't. But then are you surprised that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael councillors don't want that to be a huge part of this? Because it is an Achilles heel for their candidates. So, I mean, it's real politic. And it's, you know, Marian Harkin is saying today, democracy flourishes when different voices can be heard. And that's her justification for helping Maria Steen get onto the ticket. That is true, too. But to expect the opposition to bring you onto the pitch, give you a back rub and you know, help you with your warm up and your oranges at half time, I think that is probably asking too much.
So finally, Kevin, you know me, like, best guess, minute or so left. My feeling is, and I could be wrong, that the transfers between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil were the zeitgeist of the local and last general election, from tribal foes to 40% transfers. I'm kind of thinking whoever's the stronger between Jim and Heather, the transfers from the other will nearly elect it. And with the likelihood of a sort of tepid campaign, not really catching fire, a low turnout soothes the big parties. So that's the way I'm sort of looking at it at this stage. But look, campaigns throw up more skeletons than are in Glasnevin Cemetery, so who knows?
Yeah, well, look, I'll give you one stat. I don't have the exact figures here, but I'm in the ballpark for the last general election, which is less than a year ago. I've been Sinn Féin, Labour, Sock Dems, Greens, People for Profit. So all those parties that are backing Catherine Connolly on the left, but she is not their candidate. So therefore, that kind of tribal thing you've been talking about with Fianna Fáil defending their guy doesn't fully extend. We already know there's problems in Labour. But all those parties, I think, you probably know the stats, Ivan, came in somewhere around the 35% mark when you add them all up in the general election. Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil broke 40%. I think they were about 42, 43 between them. So starting purely from that base, even with all that support behind Catherine Connolly, if everybody turned out, she's still behind the other two together. And provided that they don't take each other out over the course of the campaign, because you're right, the interesting thing is one of them has to get ahead. So really their competitor, Heather's competitor is Jim, and Jim's competitor is Heather. And after that, then they have to worry about Catherine Connolly.
Okay. Kevin Doyle, Executive Editor of The Independent Group. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.